Welcome to another episode of Mormon History Podcast. This is your host, Skyler. How are you guys doing today? I just want to remind everybody that you can reach out to me by emailing mormonhistorypodcast@gmail.com. Also, there's a reminder about sources. I will add those at mormondiscussionpodcast.org. If you click on the episode that you are currently listening to, I will have a list of those links for you to check out. At the time of recording this, I don't have them on every early episode, but I think I started on episode 7 with adding the source links. So you can check those out as well. I just want to say that if you enjoy these episodes as well as the other podcasts that are hosted at mormondiscussionpodcast.org, if you would consider being a subscriber, a little donation to the foundation, it helps Bill Real cover the cost of hosting all of this data, potato, potato. I currently consider my podcasting as my tithing of my time to you guys, so don't say I never gave you nothing. One other thing I want to talk about before we get into the main point of this podcast is that so far I've been able to release a podcast episode every Tuesday at minimum. In the beginning, I released sometimes a couple in the week, but we are typically assigned a day to release episodes, and my day is on Tuesday. But with how I do my podcast and the information that I try to seek, it might not always be that I release one every single week. When I first approached Bill Real with the idea of what I wanted to accomplish with this podcast, it wasn't necessarily to discuss the typical controversial topics or the topics in general that we tend to hear over and over, but it was to look for obscure references to historical events, as well as to find how people were affected by the history itself, and see how their lives were around the now considered controversy or mess. So what I do is go through all these digital archives over and over and over and look at different topics, type in different words, different people's names. I read journals and diaries and books and references and just try to find as much information as I can. Sometimes I will even do a Google search for a quote that I have found just to see if it's already been talked about. And there are a couple that actually have not come up in the search. So that means that at least the information that I have found hasn't been really discussed or talked about in great length, maybe outside of the historian circle. But because of the approach that I take, it isn't going to be possible to always get an episode out each week without maybe diluting the quality or the information that I could include if I took a little more time on it. Like, for instance, right now I'm recording at 10 o'clock at night. I have to be up at 6 a.m. and I'm trying to get a podcast episode in so that I will have one available for you guys. But this topic and this episode could be a lot better if, like Radio Free Mormon, I spent 3 weeks preparing for one subject and released an hour-long episode on it. But being that I'm trying to do deep discovery on subjects and find quotes that are new and interesting, sometimes it might take 3 weeks and I'm not going to find anything. I'm even trying to discover redacted information from journals of people. I've done reverse image color inversion just to see if I can see what's on the opposite page to make out, for instance, a name that was redacted. I'm going through archives, digital archives that I've never heard of before. I'm scouring digital newspapers for key dates and information. I'm constantly looking for journals that might have some information that aren't out yet. And I've come across some interesting information that, at first glance, if you were to just click on the notebook for what it said, you would miss what was actually in it. For instance, I found a ledger book that belonged to William Clayton, but near the end of the book, his son, Archer Clayton, actually used it for a journal. And he has some interesting stories in there. One story I will probably share in this episode. So I hope that you guys will forgive me if I don't put an episode out every week, because I do want to provide you with some interesting information. Even, for instance, after the last episode that I did on healing, I found, like the very next day, another interesting quote where a woman was told that she would have the power to heal the sick in her household when her companion was gone. And in the patriarchal blessing that she was given the same rights and powers and priesthood as her husband. So again, if I would have found that earlier, it would have been in the episode. And I'm sure that I will add some interesting quotes, for instance, like that one, onto my podcast Facebook page, which is at Mormon History Podcast on Facebook. Because I'm probably not going to do another episode about healing per se for a while, and so that quote just needs to go on that page. But if I ever find some more information about women in the priesthood, then maybe I will do a podcast and include it in there. But anyways, you're probably sick of my rambling, so let's get started with this not well-prepared episode on the Word of Wisdom. And this isn't going to be my opinion about the Word of Wisdom as much as it's going to be about historical references of things that are contained within the Word of Wisdom. I might opine a little bit, but in this podcast, I try not to. I try to just stick to history. And I was pretty upset because I found an article quite a while ago that I wanted to use, but I don't think I ever saved it anywhere. At least I haven't been able to find where I had saved it if I did. So I've been searching everywhere to try and find the same article, and luckily enough, I was able to find a reference that was similar to what I found. Because a lot of times just talking about something and just saying, yeah, this was an issue back then, and then someone goes, yeah, so what's the source on that information? And you're like, oh, well, I don't remember. So to try to avoid that, I try to save and categorize all these things that I find. So anyways, let's get started. So we're going to talk about Section 89, and I'm going to read some of the verses that are found in Section 89. And then I will share a historical example of either how it was kept or how it was broken or how maybe they understood it. So the first thing that I want to say was this idea of the temporal salvation of all the saints in the last days. There has been people who have tried to say exactly what that means. So one thing that we can look at is kind of the body and the salvation of our mortal beings in the sense of keeping ourselves holy and pure. And that's where you get the idea of the run and not be weary, walk and not be faint. But either way, in verse 4, it is the Lord, or Joseph Smith through the Lord. No, the Lord through Joseph Smith, that it is a revelation. And I want to later on discuss this last part of the verse, which says of the evils and designs which do and will exist in the hearts of conspiring men in the last days. Because if you think about it, what the heck does the evil designs of other people and their hearts have to do with the word of wisdom? Stay tuned. And so verse 5 just goes on to say, don't drink wine or strong drink. It's not good. Then you go on to wine being of the pure wine of the grape, of the vine, of your own make. But then in verse 7, we have that strong drinks are not for the belly, but for the washing of your bodies. So I want to provide a historical reference for that number 7. So this first quote is coming from Oliver Cowdery's journal. And this is from 1836 in January, and it was the 16th, which was a Saturday. It says, met in the evening with Brother Joseph Smith Jr. at his house in company with Brother John, and I can't make out the last name, but I think it says Connell. But it goes on to say, after pure water was prepared, called upon the Lord and proceeded to wash each other's bodies and bathe the same with whiskey perfumed with cinnamon. This we did that we might be clean before the Lord for the Sabbath, confessing our sins and covenanting to be fruitful to God. So there you have it. They cleaned their bodies with strong drink. In this case, it was whiskey, which was perfumed with cinnamon. And I will loosely say that Brigham Young owned and operated a distillery here in Salt Lake in the early days. And few journals said that it was for the making of pickled vegetables as well as for medical purposes. And this might be one of those times where you'll just have to take my word for those specificities, but it's no secret that Brigham Young had and operated a distillery. And maybe they did wash their bodies, especially their mouth, with the strong drink. All right, so next we go to verse 8, which just says, don't take the tobacco. But now we get into the ever opined upon, mixed feelings on, misunderstood hot drinks. Now, there are a few places where hot soup and hot cocoa and hot chocolate, which I don't know if there's a difference on those two, are said to not be used. And some people might think that's interesting because we only know of coffee and tea. But from the Juvenile Instructor of 1866, it says the following. And keep in mind, the Juvenile Instructor is to instruct, well, the juveniles. And so it says, little boys and girls should not use tea or coffee, nor drink soup, nor anything else while it is hot. Why? Because the Lord has told us that it is not good to do so. And it goes on a little bit, and then it just completely guilt trips the little ones by saying, what do you think of children who habitually disregard the wishes of their parents? You would say that they do not love their fathers and mothers, or they would do as they tell them. And the angels and good men will think we do not love God much if we do not strive to please him in every respect, which includes not drinking the hot drink. And in the Millennial Star, in February 10th, 1927, the debate continues. It says, what is meant by hot drinks? This question is being constantly asked of the authorities, and it is often followed by explanations, such as indicate that the questioner desires to ease his conscience of his fondness for drinking tea and coffee. The latest explanation that has come to my notice is this, that hot drinks do not refer to tea and coffee, which are not hot in themselves, but refer to really hot drinks such as pepper, ginger, etc. That is the hot drinks of the Word of Wisdom, according to the latest interpretation. It is needless to say to those who know my views that I consider such an explanation mere subterfuge nonsense of the rankest kind. In the hot drinks of the Word of Wisdom, tea and coffee are included. And that was from President Joseph F. Smith in Improvement Era, Volume 4, which is just being quoted in the Millennial Star. It then goes on to give some incorrect information about tannic acid and tanning leather and all that and coffee and how it's got poisonous caffeine. Now we're going to step a little bit forward and then we're going to take two steps back. I don't know, that might be a country song, but I want to talk about number 10 real quick, and it says, "And again, verily I say unto you, all wholesome herbs God hath ordained for the constitution, nature, and use of man." And if you remember my quote from the last episode, Brigham Young saying that there's no point in trying to call down the angels to heal you when God has provided you the means to do so by yourself. And then he talks about gathering up a little catnip and making some tea out of it. There was also another drink that was popular back in the day, and it's still today, I guess. But it's called Lobelia. And I'm not quite granola enough to pronounce that correctly, I'm sure. But both catnip and Lobelia were used to create drinks, including tea, and they tend to have some kind of effect. I think catnip has a kind of calming effect. But apparently, because it is a different plant that's not a tea leaf, it's okay to drink, even if it produces effects which could be considered like a drug. And you'll have to do a take Skylar's word for it on this next bit of information, but I could probably find the actual quote. But one of the leaders actually chastised a brother for going into a house to give a blessing, but saw a tea pot as well as like a tea canister, and he turned around and left the house without giving a blessing because he said, "I'm only going to give a blessing to someone who obeys the Lord." And basically, the person who was doing the chastising said, "You didn't even look inside to see if it was catnip or some other natural tea." But now we're starting to get in the confusing era of, is it hot drink? Is it hot soup? Is it hot cocoa? Or is it strictly tea and coffee because of the tannins and that poisonous caffeine? Or is there possibly a different reason why tea and coffee is prohibited? All right, so remember when I said I was going to go back to number 4? Where it says the evil hearts and minds of conspiring men in the last days? Well, I actually have an interesting quote. And again, this ties to that article that I can't find again, which also had more information. But going back to the Juvenile Instructor 21 from 1886, it says, quote, "It may seem incredible, especially to the young people of the Latter-day Saints, that men could be so wicked as to seek to destroy the saints by poisoning them. But such has been the case, and but for the preserving care of God and their observance of the Word of Wisdom, many would have died thus from poison placed by their enemies in tea, coffee, or other liquors which they were expected to drink. The only absolute safety from such disaster is an entire abstinence from those things which our Heavenly Father declares are not good." And so there are cases where tea and coffee and alcohol has been poisoned, and people would drink it and die. Now, Fair Mormon will have you believe that the reason why Brigham Young didn't want tobacco and liquor and coffee and tea to be imported was because of the amount of money that the saints would be spending on that cost and how it would cost even more. And so what a wonderful thing that the Lord has said to avoid drinking coffee, tea, smoking tobacco, and using alcohol, therefore getting rid of those expensive imports. But the article that I found, which I'm so mad that I didn't save and that I can't find again, says that exact thing, that if these things were to be imported, how easy would it be for someone to poison and kill thousands upon thousands of saints? And so it can't be hot drink because Brigham Young loved himself some tea, some catnip tea, some other teas, some Brigham tea, which is from a type of ephedra plant, but not the same ephedra plant that makes ephedra, but which grows wild in Utah and is called Brigham tea or Mormon tea. And it's not the caffeine, because today they even say it's not the caffeine, and now they're selling that poison down at BYU. But really, it seems to be likely that it could be because of the fact that they didn't want to die from imported goods. So nobody knows why we can't drink hot coffee or cold coffee or hot tea or cold tea today, because the Lord isn't clarifying anything. But go ahead and drink that caramel coloring, high fructose corn syrup carbonated garbage known as soda, and leave that antioxidant, cancer beating, wonderful nectar of the gods to the heathens. All right, so now we're going to go down a little bit more to the whole eat meat sparingly and the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law. But again, in the Juvenile Instructor in 1866, it has a little something to say regarding the eating of meat. It says, God has also said that it is not good for us to use tobacco or liquor or to eat much meat in summer, and he has promised that all who will give heed to his advice and obey all his commandments shall become very wise and very good. Now, if you want to learn how to be handsome, listen to this next part. People who do not use any hot drinks, tobacco, intoxicating liquors, nor a great deal of meat are always healthier, happier, and handsomer than those who do. All right, so now that we've learned to avoid the heathen nectar, the next controversial subject would be the mild drinks. And you'll have some people that'll say, mild drinks can be of barley, but not alcoholic. The others who say, it says in the Word of Wisdom that I can just drink beer. Well, actually, you would be correct if you were to just read Section 89 and not listen to any conference talks for the last 100 years. But nonetheless, let's see what we can find about the mild drinks. In April 19th, 1843, Levi Richards is one of the best physicians anyone was ever acquainted with. On December 15th, 1843, the prophet, Joseph Smith, journalized as follows. I was seized with dryness of mouth and throat, sickness of stomach, and vomited freely. My wife waited on me, assisted by my scribe, Dr. Willard Richards, and his brother Levi, who administered to me herbs and mild drinks. Now, you might be saying to your wonderful self, well, what does that mean? Well, in 1859, there was an article in the Deseret News which talked about hops. And the Hootie Tootie California Agriculture Society released a statement saying that how awesome the hops are in California, bragging about how they're the best place for hops, etc., etc. But then, in Utah, we said the following. We have been long satisfied that this portion of the continent was superior to all others for hop raising. The fine specimens of hops found in our canyons demonstrate this. Our ales and porters should be of superior quality. The very poor quality of these, quote, mild drinks, unquote, heretofore manufactured here are no criterion to what might be done. Considerable improvement has been made recently, and still there is room. We do not wish to have the agreeable and invigorating properties of our mountain hops substituted by the mixture of noxious barks and weeds. So, here in 1859, in the wonderful Deseret News, it's saying that Utah has awesome hops growing in the canyons, and that our ales and porters, while might be decent, they could be of a superior quality. All right, to wrap up talking about beer, if you remember the Archer Clayton journal that I talked about that was behind the book of finances that William Clayton had, I want to share a journal entry from the 24th of July, where he had some fun. And this was not too long before he went on a mission. He says, play a match with 6th Ward Club. We got beat. Go over to Peck's farm. Come back. Drink too much beer. Ride a wild horse. Rears over and falls on me. Horse runs off. I never knew no more till about midnight. Very sore this morning. So apparently he drank too much beer, rode a wild horse, got bucked off the horse took off, and then he didn't remember much of the rest of the day till midnight. He has a couple interesting stories in this journal, and I will probably share some of those at another time, I guess, if it comes up. But yeah, there are obviously a lot of undiscovered or unknown kind of quotes or theories or other things that applied from or to the word wisdom. But I wanted to just get this episode out and just give you a couple historical references that tie into Section 89. And again, I just don't know if I will have a weekly episode, but there are a lot of different subjects that I am looking into and episodes that I want to record, but it takes a lot of time to search through this. I probably spend 20 hours a week just reading and going through old documents. And I do it because I enjoy it, and it's the same reason why I do this podcast. This podcast takes time to record, and sure, there are other things that I could be doing with my time other than recording a podcast, but I do it for two reasons. One, it's kind of therapeutic to talk about things. And two, I think it helps people to look at other sources other than the typical things that get regurgitated out there on the internet. And I'm not saying that that is necessarily bad. I think that everybody comes across information all the time that is new. I've talked to Bill Rill about this before, you know, that there's people 5 years later that are just tuning into his podcast. And I was actually one of those guys, you know. I probably didn't start listening to Bill's podcast until 3 or 4 months ago. And it's not that I started listening to learn as much as I just enjoy listening to other people's kind of takes on things. And so I hope that I am providing just more historical information and maybe that desire to dig deeper. I think if you are listening to my podcast, you're probably at that point where you're opening your eyes to dig deeper. And so I hope that I am inspiring you to continue to learn and to gain knowledge. And while I might be sarcastic here and there, I try to not show bias towards something, but look at things that are interesting of historical nature. And I'm sure that I could provide some more positive takes to these subjects, but I think the church does a good enough job doing that. So if you are looking for positive spins, not spins, but you know, positive takes or positive information on any of these topics that I discuss, just feel free to go to LDS.org and search for those. You'll find plenty. Just keep in mind that all of the things that I read or quote on this podcast also come from the church, typically, in the sense that they're either from a journal of a leader or they are in a published book or published newspaper that the church owned. So I am like the deep side of LDS.org, even deeper and darker past where they originally hid the church essays. Thank you for tuning in to another episode. I can't wait to share some more interesting information with you guys. And until then, have a good one.